Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Sharon Burstein, and we're going to be talking about her book, Life Snacks for Women, Create a Life of Excellence, Tips to Ignite Your Spirit and Inspire Your Life. Life Snacks for Women inspires readers of all ages to look at life in diverse ways from different points of view. As women, each of you is unique, with none of you being the same. The words, tips, messages presented throughout the book are uplifting. They make you pause, think, reflect, and take action. Each healthy, bite-sized tidbit gives your life a boost. While Life Snacks for Women can be read in one sitting to absorb maximum impact, portion them out, savor them each slowly, and digest. You will find it irresistible just to read one. Sharon Burstein is an award-winning author and one of America's most respected speakers. She has trained and spoken to thousands of people of all ages, students, and adults using her training and leadership methods. Through her speaking, training, consulting, and coaching, Sharon inspires people, building their confidence to achieve more success in life. She enables people to create and recognize their inner and outer leadership image. Sharon has created numerous award-winning books and programs and has been recognized and received numerous awards for her career achievements in leadership. For more information, you can visit her website, which is SharonBurstein.com, and that's SharonBurstein.com. And I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Sharon to the show. Good day, Sharon.
Well, hello, Robert. It's great to be part of your show. How are you today?
I am doing just peachy. I'm doing great.
That's great to hear.
I'm looking forward to sharing what you have with listeners. The demographic of my show goes anywhere between 75% and 95%, depending on the month, of women. So there are a lot of women out there that are really going to be hanging on your every word. So. Let's first start with your interest in writing books and speaking. So, do you write your books with any particular audience in mind?
Well, the answer to that is yes, no, and always. The answer to that is I love inspiring people, and I found that through words, and I do a lot of speaking. But through books, you're able to touch people's heart and souls, people of all ages, men and women. And so many of my books have been written for people of all ages. My first book, Life Snacks, the original one, and What's Your Leadership Image, which is a little bit more from actually high schools right on through C-suite people. And the newest book, which is the second book in the Life Snacks series, is Life Snacks for Women. So after the first Life Snacks book came out, it seemed to resonate with so many vertical groups that it was decided I was asked, would I consider making the Life Snacks books into a series? And so the answer to that is yes. And so now Life Snacks for Women is the first vertical group, and then I have a Life Snacks for Parents and Life Snacks for Students, which are in the works. So that's kind of how the yes, no, always, and
yeah, comes in. I can see where that all applies. So Okay, now with Life Snacks, can you share with the listeners exactly, you know, what's the format? What was your intent and inspiration, you know, behind the Life Snacks?
Well, Life Snacks was written to inspire people because we all can use, Robert, some inspiration every day, regardless. And it's written intentionally in short form because, quite honestly, Robert, there are a lot of people crossing all ages right now who will no longer read long form. We've gotten into be a society where we want everything condensed so that we can be inspired, motivated, or get those kernels of nuggets and wisdom without having to read 50, 100, or more pages. So Life Snacks has, well, the first book was 50 tasty motivational messages with one word per page and the messages that resonate with that word on one page. And Life Snacks for Women also follows that format, but words and messages that are a little bit more vertically represented to women, but applicable also in many regards to both genders.
Yeah. So now you have a word with the associated inspirational aspect. I understand the book is also has like exercises. So I mean, it's like a working book, so to speak.
Yes, it is. I mean, lots of times people need a little assistance, not just to be given words, but a little bit of ideas. For instance, goals, or be prepared. You know, prepare tonight for your tomorrow ahead. It sounds like an easy thing, but that's from the first book, and we'll then step into Life Snacks for Women. But that word plan, which is number three, I can't tell you, Robert, how many people I have been stopped at book signings or speaking or just on the street, actually, all over the country for saying that changed their life. Plan tonight for your tomorrow ahead. You know, write three things down that you want to accomplish tomorrow. You know, start to get your lunches, your outfit, all of those things together this evening so you can hit the ground running in the morning and you have a clear mind so you'll rest better. Now, that sounds very logical, but for a lot of people, those are not steps that they normally take. They wake up in the morning, think life is very, very hectic. So that's just one. You know, when you also write goals, I have goals or things that I want to do every day. Now, you can write, I used to write lists, and I'd have 20, 30 things. Now I have what I call my 3x3s, and I encourage people to do it. You know, I have three things that Sharon may need to do. They could be as easy as go to the market, go to the bank. This time of year, it could be pick up more plants. Then it may have things for speaking, and then it may have other vertical things that I need to get done in my business. But when you look at things in groups of threes, it doesn't look like nine. It's only three. And it becomes very manageable. And
okay,
there's such satisfaction when you do it, because I've got it like set up, and I actually have these pads that I've now developed. They're like 3x3, so it's fun to cross them off, but it's almost like fun like playing tic-tac-toe with them as well.
Yeah. So now, 3x3, so you're talking about having three groups of three items?
In three categories, whether it could be,
it
may be something for your business, it may be something you need to do, three things for you personally. And if you're a mom or somebody, maybe three things you may need to do for your family. So at the top headings, I keep those open because sometimes it may be three things that you just need, you know, whatever your vertical groups are. But you're never looking at more than three major things that you need to do. And again, they can be simple things. They could be, as I said, they could be getting plants, go to the bank, getting things for dinner, picking up Sally from ballet. It could be, you know, an appointment I have. It could be writing proposals. It could be finishing a chapter for my book, depending on what it is in your life. But when you don't look at, when you stop making lists, that just go on indefinitely. You're putting, it's not to say that you aren't going to do more things, but these are the three things in the two or three categories in your life for that day that you need to get done.
Yeah.
And it becomes very manageable.
Yeah. No, I mean, I've done the list thing, you know, and then go from day to day and, you know, the all of the 20 things on the list get moved over from day to day. So, you know, and then you get that feeling like, oh, man, I'm just not accomplishing anything, right? I guess with that 3x3 aspect, first of all, like you say, they're manageable, you know, I mean, three items, you know, and particularly if they're things that you're normally going to do, you know, then by the end of the day, then you would feel at least that you've accomplished those 9 items. And that's got to be reinforcing.
It is. It's uplifting because you feel very positive. And, you know, your day should be about, Robert, lifting you up. And I encourage that for everybody who's listening. You want to be inspired and motivated and keeping positive, where if you just keep these lists that you just keep bringing more and more things forward, you start to feel like your life is getting bogged down and getting out of control. With the 3x3, it's like, I can do this. People are much more positive, and they get much more better things done, and their attitude is much more positive.
Yeah. So now, you're talking about this 3x3, and then you mentioned something about, you know, when you go to bed, listing three things. So the three things at bedtime are separate from the 3x3. That you would do for the day. So I'm trying to.
No, they can be. They can be. I write my 3x3s incomplete. Complete. I write them complete and put them on my desk. Or if I haven't left my desk, I will do them before I go to bed, and put them somewhere. So I am done. I know exactly what I'm doing in my personal and my professional life tomorrow. What are the top three things in each of those areas for me that I need to be successful and accomplish?
Okay.
And then I go to bed. So if you don't do it at the end of your day, then do it before you go to bed. The key is to not take that, because so many people go to bed and they start worrying, and then they can't sleep. Because they're worrying about tomorrow. What am I going to do? Oh, my goodness. I've got to remember to do this. I've got to remember to do that. Oh, my goodness. What if I forget? No, I've got to remember to do this. I've got to remember to pay the bill. I've got to get the dog to the veterinarian. Oh, my goodness. You know, what if I don't get this done? I forgot I've got this interview or this appointment tomorrow. And people start getting very fretful and just agitated and nervous at a time when you're trying to calm down to go to bed.
Yeah,
so
I mean, that,
it just
that,
takes
that's
it all
common.
Out of your control. You know, takes it. You just pull it, and it's like you just give a sigh, because it's like, okay, here's my day for tomorrow. It's plain and simple, and it's right here.
Yeah, that's a great way. I mean, you know, because that mental chatter at night is really, really prevents a lot of people. And right now, I mean, you know, people are really going through periods of lack of sleep. I mean, you see it all the time, and it really affects your performance.
Absolutely. I mean, sleep. There's nothing. You know, sleep deprivation really does prevent you from being focused on being able to give your focus to anything in life, and your ability to communicate, your ability to create, keep on task, on everything. So getting a good 7 or 8 hours sleep, at least for me, if I really try to get at least 8, I try to get a full 8 hours if I can.
Yeah, me too. But you know, but like you say, you know, writing down those items, really, I mean, if anything, it takes you recognize that, you know, that this is kind of this is something for me to do for the day. It's already done. I mean, it's already done in the sense of that I've already made note of it. I don't really have to think about it again. Now I can just move on to, you know, the issue at hand and sleeping.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's
That's a great. I like that 3x3 aspect because, you know, it's manageable, and you know, and particularly for women who have so many roles that they fill throughout the day, you know, it's a great way to kind of make sure that, you know, life is balanced, you know, and that each area of life is getting some proper attention.
Absolutely, because as women, we are all multitaskers. I think it just goes with who we are. We always have a lot of balls that we're juggling up in the air, and it helps bring focus to those that are there to success, because we all want to achieve success in our day. At the end of the day, it's not about how many things you didn't get done. It's nice to recognize
right.
and be fully aware of all that you were able to successfully complete.
Yeah, exactly. So now, is plan, or you know, that is that one of the life snacks that you have in Life Snacks for Women? Is that one of them? And you know, and that idea of writing down, you know, for nighttime and the 3x3, is that like an action associated
it
with that,
is
or is
an
that
action.
Just something? Okay.
No,
okay.
That is an action item that is in there. You know, because lots of times it's not only inspiration and inspiring words, it's simple things that you can do to help you in your day. And I know another one that I love to give people. Lots of times, men and women, people of all ages, our day gets a little out of control. And sometimes finding ways to bring you down, aside from breathing, one easy thing you can do, and this is so simple, Robert, if you're getting, find you're getting upset or you're getting, you just need to calm yourself down, there's a very simple exercise that has a great calming effect. And you can do it alone, or you can even do it, I could do it speaking to you and you would never even know it. And it's this, if you have two hands, just with your hands at your side, gently make little figure eights. If you only have one hand, just make little figure eights and, you know, breathe and listen to what somebody's saying, or even if you're talking, make them. I don't know if you're standing or sitting right now, but you will find that, or and your listeners, you can all do it. We could all do it together. As we're listening and speaking, just quietly make little figure eights. That's all. They're just silent. And the rhythm, and you don't want them to be fast, just let them go slowly. And you'll find that even if you're upset or you're in a tough conversation or you just need to ground yourself, it's something simple and invisible, and it works brilliantly.
Yeah, I'm sitting here doing that right now. All of a sudden, I get this little calm. Well, you know, that's interesting, and it's figure eight. I mean, why do you think that has that effect? I mean,
there's energy. I mean, we're all made, you know, there's energy in the universe is what
right.
keeps us all moving forward. And the figure eights just keep the energy moving, and it keeps it connected, but it keeps it in a quiet circle, and it's not up and down. It's just, you know, gentle, and
yeah.
it just goes with the rhythm of your body. It starts to go with the rhythm of your heartbeat. It starts to bring your heartbeat down. It starts to lower tension, and it's just a lovely little exercise that gets you more grounded and connected.
Yeah, okay, I like that one. That's great. Thanks, thanks for sharing that. All of a sudden, H will be part of my my process. So,
well, the nice thing is they're invisible. So even if somebody's upsetting
yeah.
you or something, you can just say, okay, little figure eight, breathe. And, you know, it's like, all right.
Yeah, that's good. Hopefully they're not going to be real observant and see that. But so That is another one of your snack bites. So this is what kind of feedback have you gotten? I mean, from particularly the latest version, the snack bites for women. I mean, tell us what kind of feedback you've gotten as far as
I have gotten so much wonderful positive feedback, and it has just been so inspiring. Coast to coast, all the reviews for the book have also just been very, very positive. Women like also that there's a book that is written with messages that just resonate really with them and help to uplift and motivate them in really wonderful little rich kernels and nuggets that make life simpler and more effective, and it just brings focus. I mean, they're not rocket science, but very few things in life really are. But sometimes we all need a little boost or a motivator. I mean, even things like compliment. I mean, giving compliments are something that we all, who doesn't love to get a compliment? Do you like to get compliments?
Yeah, I sure do.
You know, and compliments are great because sometimes you can compliment somebody and just tell them, you know, if you're walking by, you can say, oh, you have such a beautiful smile, or I love that jacket, or, you know, oh, you know, you just have such a nice way. There's so many different ways you can compliment somebody, whether you know them or not. The interesting thing about compliments is, of course, they never cost anything, but they make the person that you are giving the compliment to feel very good. And you feel very good as well. And the interesting thing about compliments, have you ever gotten a compliment just at the right time, like when you're feeling your day is just like out of control, and somebody will just say something really nice, and it's very simple, but it starts to change your whole day. I always encourage people, I like, and you'll find out I do this a lot, in threes, because it doesn't make things, you know, manageable, but three, you know, try to give three compliments a day. You know, to people you know, to people you don't know. You know, random acts of kindness and compliments, they never go out of style. They never have an expiration.
Yeah.
And yet they do so much.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I mean, that's the one thing that, you know, I mean, I try very often to, you know, to compliment, you know, whenever I see something that just stands out, you know, I freely give compliments and it's because I do know, you know, and especially when it's to a stranger, because I think even, you know, for when you get them from friends, that's nice. I mean, I'll eat up every one of them. You know, that's a life snack I'll munch on for a long time. But when you get something from a stranger or you give a compliment to a stranger, you know, there's like no history involved between you two. It just, because it's so out of the ordinary that it seems to, I won't say carry weight, but I mean, it seems to be a little bit more appreciated, you know.
Well,
when
it is,
that.
You know, and I travel a lot because I speak all over the world. But when I'm speaking, I travel by plane a lot, and it's very fun. Lots of times, you know, when you're getting on the plane and you're boarding, and everybody's just kind of sitting there, and they're kind of bored, or they don't know what to do with their eyes. So I love to walk down the plane and just start randomly working both sides of the aisle, just giving compliments, going every couple rows to this person or that person. It's amazing. Their eyes light up. They have smiles on their faces. It could be compliments about their children, their grandchildren, just something about them. And you can just see their whole body language starts to shift.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people are a little nervous about traveling, and it just takes their mind and focus in a different direction.
Yeah, and that's not what you expect when you have somebody walking down the aisle, you know, for them to, first of all, notice you, you know, and then, you know, make that little added effort to compliment you or provide a compliment in some manner.
Absolutely. And it's fun.
Yeah.
You know, I just love giving people compliments. And, of course, who doesn't love to receive them? But whenever you can make an impact on somebody's day in a positive way, it's great.
Yeah.
You know, they feel good and you feel great. You've had an impact.
Exactly.
And you haven't meant to definitely really have a major impact, but it's fun to just be a part of other people's days.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I have a friend who loves to, when he's approaching a market or a post office or something where they have, you know, the automatic doors, you know, where you just step on the, and he'll just run ahead, you know, and kind of either, you know, wave the hand to open the door or push the button and then just let me get that for you, you know, for the person coming up. And they just laugh. And quite often it's like, well, you know, he'll say, well, I haven't done my good deed for the day. Now I've got that out of the way, you know. And,
absolutely.
And they just chuckle. But it plants the seed that, you know, maybe, you know, they should do a little good deed for the day.
Well, you know, people pass it on, and that's like I love to do random acts of kindness, too. Sometimes I'll buy the person's coffee behind me. Sometimes when it used to be like little tolls, like 20 or 25 cents on certain places, I would pay for the next five people behind me and just, you know, obviously pull away. And you just, you know, let somebody say, oh, your toll has been paid for, your coffee has been paid for, and lots of times you're already out the door. So somebody doesn't ever really see you. Sometimes they come back on and say, why did you do that? It's just like, just because, you know, have a lovely day. And if you feel so inclined, pass a random act of kindness on to somebody else in your own way.
Yeah. That's, you know, once I think you start that, I mean, it's just one of the things that creates a ripple effect, you know. I mean, for you and it's for the person and for everyone else they touch throughout the day, you know, and that's such a positive ripple that, you know, if we had a lot more of that, we could have some really positive waves being made out there.
Absolutely. You know, as I always like to tell people, be mindful, not mindful. I mean, there's a big difference between being mindful and mindful. And lots of times people will walk around with, like, no vacancy. It's like, I don't have anything. It's like, no. But, you know, and motivation
exactly.
is external, but the inspiration to make that change, that's internal. So I can motivate you, but to be inspired to make that change or take that step, that has to come within each person.
Yeah, exactly. You know, one of the things, we're going to be taking a break, first of all, for listeners. And so if you want to call in and ask Sharon any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those listening live in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to pose them. So we'll be doing that after the break if there's anybody in the queue. But Sharon, you mentioned a little bit of a while ago about goals. And, you know, and I understand that you feel it's important that women write down their dreams and their goals so that they can bring them closer to reality. What is your feeling, your process regarding goals? Because, you know, I mean, it used to be everyone, what's your 5-year goal, your 10-year goal, you know? And life seems to change so quickly. And then sometimes there are so many, you know, unexpected surprises that can affect those goals. How do you tell individuals or suggest that individuals frame their goals, you know, so that they can, you know, at least have an idea for achievement, but also be flexible enough for what life can bring?
Good question. I look at my goals as I write my goals, which are my immediate goals. I have my short-term goals, and I have my long-term goals. Now, my immediate goals mean they have to be completed within 90 days. Now, I may have goals that I may need to complete this week or whatnot, but I will look at you know, 10 goals that I need to get done, short-term, immediate. Short-term was about usually 6 months, and long-term could be up to about 3 years. But it's not only writing the goals and visualizing, you know, because, you know, your imagination, you start with the goals. But the next thing is, what are the action steps to reach those goals? And you have to put not only the action steps, but putting a real time. Now, within those 90 days, lots of times I will have very specific dates to achieve a goal. It could be by Tuesday at 10 a.m. on June 10th that I will have this, I have to have this done. Because you have to give yourself not only a goal, you have to give yourself, make yourself accountable. Mm-hmm. And then it's the largest step. And here's the step where people lots of times fall down is taking action. They'll write the goals down, and then they just throw them away. Goals really need to be front and center. Your goals really need to be written and visible in a place. And if it's something you're trying to achieve because you want a trip or something that's a certain house, a certain education, whatever it is, lots of times also accompanying that goal with a photo. So you see not only the written goal, but then you start to see the goal as it is. You start to see the visual, and that visual mm-hmm. helps to build reinforcement as well.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because, you know, that's the one thing where, you know, I know if I had there was no way 10 years ago I would have had the goal of having a radio show, you know, and then speaking to people internationally, you know, I mean, it just wasn't in my realm, you know, of possibility, you know. So, you know, but what happened is in the interim period, there were certain opportunities that were presented that each step of the way contributed to where I'm at. But it seemed that, you know, my goals shifted, you know, based on opportunity and experience.
Oh, you know, and when you start to put those goals together, and it's the law of attraction, the more you put out what you want, the more you also talk about them. Talk about your goals.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to yourself about those goals. But the more you also talk about those goals to other people, that's part of your accountability, is once you start expressing some of those goals, or, you know, you start building those steps, and you can't, and I love, you know, how you were talking about your steps to your radio show, because lots of times it isn't going from, you know, on the ground to the top of the ladder. There are steps,
mm-hmm.
there are skills or different things that you need to achieve. And timing in life is also part of things. But, you know, lots of times with women, like centering back to women, it's important for each of us to put goals in our lives, because so often we get swept up helping others with their goals that we neglect our own.
Yeah.
You know, yours. And, you know, but I think that's adults, parents, and that's straight out of the book for women. But I think often we get caught up on trying to help others to a point where we lose sight of what it is we're trying to do to accomplish.
Yeah, that I can see that would be the case. Well, we're just a little past halfway through the show, Sharon, so I want to take just a quick break. And then when we come back, I want to kind of shift from the life snacks for women and talk about leadership and leadership image, because that's a large part of your work. So we'll take that as soon as we come back, okay?
That sounds wonderful, Robert.
Great. Okay, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope that you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link to the approximately 1,000 shows that we have had over the past 5 years. Our show is available as a free podcast in the iTunes Store. You can subscribe there, or even quicker, there is a link to our show on iTunes on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, etc., and we have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. And finally, also on the site is a link to the great products we provide: books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store with essential oils and personal and spa products. There is so much for you to explore and enjoy on our website, www.bitesradio.me. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone. Thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest is Sharon Burstein, and we've been talking about her new book, Life Snacks for Women, Create a Life of Excellence, Tips to Ignite Your Spirit and Inspire Your Life. And again, you can find out more about Sharon and all that she has to offer by visiting her website, which is www.SharonBurstein.com, and that's SharonBurstein.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So with that, we're back, Sharon.
Hi.
Hi there. Great. Okay, so let's shift to leadership, because leadership, you know, when I went to your website, I mean, your website screamed leadership. So I want to really, that's a good thing. It's communicating effectively. So let's talk a little bit about leadership. Now, has that topic been a part of your background? I mean, what was it that led you to be so passionate about leadership?
Well, I love leadership because leadership, you know, one of the questions I always ask when I'm speaking is, have you ever worked for an ineffective leader or known someone who has? And everyone has. And lots of people are given leadership responsibilities, but they don't have the skill set. And they don't understand what their leadership image is, because your leadership is what you do. Your leadership image is who you are. And so I also talk a lot about your leadership image, because your leadership image is your own brand. It's your own special sauce. It's a shadow that's with you every day and part of your life. So understanding who you are as a leader, the type of leader, what the leadership traits, and we go through and we start working on leadership traits and building those things up and helping people be greater leaders. But step one in being a great leader is knowing your ABCs. Now, do you know what your ABCs are, Robert?
I have a feeling I don't.
And this is good for your listeners, too. Always be confident. I got that from one of the heads of the education for the college I went to, in undergraduate school in outside of Chicago. And I remember Dr. Ohlendorf passing that wisdom on. She said, Dr. Ohlendorf, you are so, you know, you've been so successful in so many ways. She'd been superintendent of schools. She had been a regent. She had been many, many things. And she was a very bright and distinguished woman. And she said, it really comes down to your ABCs. And like you, it's like, okay. And always be confident. She said, because when you are confident, people will believe in you and you will believe in yourself. And when confidence and your skill set merge together, that's when greatness happens. And so in leadership, lots of times people don't have the confidence, but they have the skill set, and vice versa. Sometimes people can be overconfident and not have skill set. When we get to that one, that's where a lot of the bullying happens, actually. Or people who are overly confident, who don't have a skill set, and start to help, you know, diminish and try to take over others. So one of the things that I love working with is I love, aside from working with women and corporations, but I love working with youth. Because another one of my questions, and I pose this question not only to you, Robert, but to every listener globally who's listening to this show. How many of you were given great leadership skills as a child? And honestly, Robert, I usually get, it doesn't matter, only maybe a couple of hands, and it could be thousands of people, hundreds of thousands in the air. So one of the things that we can all do a much better job on is starting to build confidence and great leadership skills with our children and helping them to believe in themselves and that all things are positive, you know, possible. But some of the elements of your leadership image include your personality, your ability to communicate, your style, body language, words, attitude, and behavior. And communicate, aside from confidence, is the next biggest thing. Because as we all know, we all communicate in some ways, and you and I, too, have been communicating through social media as part of this interview. But it can't take the place of relationships. You know, and that's one of the things in leadership that so often, and we're starting to get almost to a generation of people where they aren't really forming meaningful relationships one-on-one, looking at people in the eye. And you can't have that kind of relationship by just texting somebody or emailing. I mean, it serves its purpose being on the phone, but I don't know about you, but I mean, I will travel coast to coast just to have a specific meeting with a person. In fact, years ago, there was an old United Airlines commercial and with a gentleman saying, handing out tickets, saying, you know, we're all very busy these days and we're losing track of who our customers are, so I want you each, and it's a gentleman who happens to be a business owner. I want you to, we're, you know, I want you to go out and meet with all of our customers just to let them know that we are still here and very much a part of their lives. And, you know, those one-on-one meetings, lunches, coffees mean so much. They really, really do. Secondly, I love phone, but I don't know about you, and I ask every listener who's out there right now, think about it. How fewer phone calls do you get now than you did even 5 years ago?
Yep, you're right.
So much has moved to email or texting that we don't even have as much time for, even if you can't meet, then my second favorite way to communicate is doing as we are right now, which is by phone. But, you know, when you can at least, I can't look at you directly. If I can at least, you know, start to have phone conversations with you, then we can start to build a relationship. You can't really build relationships through social media. You can, you know, send information back and forth. You can learn about people, but it can't take the place of really what you're trying to build with a person.
Yeah. And even in that social media world, you really only know what you're shown, you know. And so, I mean, you know, when it gets time, when you're having a telephone conversation or you're meeting someone face-to-face, you know, you can run on tangents. And you can, you know, there's more of an opportunity to learn more about the individual, you know, than what is simply kind of put out there, spoon-fed for you to absorb about a particular person.
Absolutely. One of the other things that I really want to get across to your listeners is probably one of the biggest skills that great leaders have is listening. So often, and certainly I'm doing a lot of talking here right now, but you will always learn so much more by listening than you will by talking. Learn to listen.
Yep. I love listening. That's whenever I have my guests on my show, I say, you know, people are here to listen to you, not to listen to me. So, I've learned so much that way. And you know, that is a skill that we're sadly losing.
No, and when I like to, when I'm talking lots of times, I will encourage people what I call my 95-5 rule. Do you know what 95-5 is?
No, I know 80-20, but not 95-5.
95-5 means when you meet somebody and you're engaged in a conversation or a meeting, it should be because you already know a lot about yourself, or I would hope to that you do, that it should be 95% about the other person. And I really encourage this, especially with anybody who's doing a proposal work or asking, you know, for anything, that you can learn so much about somebody. And even if you haven't asked, if you're in development or sales or many things, but learn, spend 95% of the time with that new relationship learning about the other person. And then, you know, and 5%, because also if you're doing a major ask for something, it will also help to not only build a relationship because you now know more about them, but then you can shape and craft your responses around to the type of person they are. And those kinds of conversations that you have with somebody in the beginning, it starts to give you verbal clues as to the type of person, if they're formal, whether they're warm, whether they're engaging, whether they're family-centered, you know, you start to get a better read on somebody. So you make a much stronger and meaningful connection.
Right. Yeah, I agree. You know, and for someone like me who's introverted, believe it or not, you know, when I go into crowds, you know, I used to be like, oh, my God, I don't know what to say. What do I say? You know, but especially with this 95-5, you know, it's really not important what I have to say. I mean, it's just maybe I can start with an open-ended question, but then immediately engage in the listening, active listening.
Absolutely. And you can follow up through a phone call later on a lot of the things you learned, and that will make a much better connection. I also talk to people lots of times about the power of 10. If you're in a social situation, of course, the power in the room usually is in the center. And so the further away you are on the periphery, the more you're walking away from the power. So keeping 95-5, work to make 10 connections. Now, that's not just, oh, hi, Robert, my name is Sharon Burstein, here's my business card. That's not a connection. That's, you know, pausing, making a connection, learning 95-5. And again, for anybody who's introverted or extroverted, it allows you to let that person talk more about themselves, which is great. And then learn, get that connection, and then follow it up later on. And you're much more confident then because the emphasis has been on the other person and you've learned a lot more about them.
Right, exactly. So now with leadership, in leadership image, you know, you mentioned how a leadership image is kind of unique to the individual, you know, based on, you know, personality traits and, you know, those kinds of things. So, first of all, before we even talk about the image, is everyone capable of being a leader, and is being a leader something one should aspire to being?
Those are excellent questions. First of all, everybody has a leadership image. Again, your leadership is what you do. Your leadership image is who you are. And if we had a lot of time, I actually do a lot of training and workshops because we go through and I've actually developed a whole system and color code with all of the different traits, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, and purple, and all the different traits. And you may find you do, first of all, you have a leadership image. Everybody does, right from when you're young.
Okay.
Can it change? Can you change the colors and your traits? Absolutely. And it should. As you grow, it should. So you may find that you're more bold in certain colors and more pastel in other colors. And those may shift according to the confidence and as you move forward in your career. And we spend a lot of time on that. Once you know, if you have my book, What's Your Leadership Image, you'll know that once you've identified what color grouping you are in your leadership image, that helps you not only understand yourself better, but you start to automatically look at others and say, oh, orange, yellow. And not that there is no bad color, by the way. There is no bad color.
Okay.
It's just you also start to understand the traits of those other people. And it really is amazing. I've spent 25 years creating this kind of this system, working with leaders all over the country. And I really found that only 15% of all top leaders spanning all organizations and corporations really knew their leadership image. And yet leadership image, because it's who you are and it's how you lead, accounts for really about 85% of your success rate.
Wow.
So really understanding your leadership image. And lots of times people think, oh, you know, that if somebody was doing well when they were working more individually and you've given them a promotion, if you haven't given them the leadership skill set for managing people, you may be setting that person up now for personal failure because you haven't given them the skill set. And, you know, lots of times people say, oh, my goodness, he or she has a PhD, an MBA. Oh, my God, she'll be great. But they don't have the leaders. They don't have that. Conversely, you can have people who have maybe not as much education, or they do, but they have more experience and understand people skills better because leadership is about bringing people together. It's, you know, it's not, leadership is not about power. Leadership is actually about empowering others because effective leadership is really about strength, understanding, courage, and sacrifice. It doesn't, you know, it comes with some privileges sometimes, but it is not privileged. You know, and some people believe that I'm the leader, you need to respect me, and that's not true at all. In a leadership role, you may have to do what I tell you to do because I may be your boss, but that does not mean you have to respect me. Respect, clear and simple, is earned.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing about leaders is really good leaders know that, you know, success isn't about the leader. It's about building effective teams because success is a team sport. And you don't want to hire clones of yourself. Andrew Carnegie was probably one of the most brilliant people about never understanding anything about the steel industry. But he knew what he wanted to build. So he hired the best people in every category to help make his success. And that is the key. If you look at really people who are really brilliant, they may have great ideas, but they know that they can't execute it and become successful on their own, that they need to hire and find the experts in those areas and bring them together and build effective teams to help you reach your goals.
Yeah.
So when you do that, and you don't want clones of yourself, bring in talented people, but people and get them to work together and keep open communication. But again, learn to listen, being respectful of other people, and all of those things all help to make great leaders. I mean, we could go on, and I don't know how much time we have to discuss leadership, but, you know, when we do go through a lot of exercises with people, too, when building their leadership image, in fact, I'm doing some this week, too, but, you know, some things I would just throw out because I like to give little tidbits to listeners is think and ponder and assess four questions. What is your image as you see it? How do you see yourself? And then what is your image as others see it? And then throw it into your leadership image. What is your leadership image as you see it? And what is your leadership image as others, including friends and coworkers, see it? you know, there are lots of wonderful ways. And I was just out in Oakland speaking for Diamond Wealth Management a couple of weeks ago. And there was a breakout session that I attended after my keynote. And I had a photographer, and he had everybody taking photos of each other. And he said, look at the person. And we had these little stickies. And it's in the same vein. He said, look at the person. And we had never met this person. And he said, give two words. You know, first of all, he said, give two words that you think would describe you. And two words that you think, you know, that describe the person you took their picture. And, of course, then you're exchanging them. And it's really interesting to see with perfect strangers how they see you and view a lot of, and you will see a lot of the same similarities and sometimes differences. But, you know, life isn't just about how you see yourself and what you think. You know, we do this exercise in classrooms, and I'll be doing it actually again this Friday with a big group that I'll be working with. You know, what do you think your image is? And working with a person and having somebody else then write three things about how they see you, three words. And we start then building. But, you know, then you start building. And it's fun. I mean, with leaders, good leaders know that it's all about teamwork. And you know what? Leadership and teamwork and all of that, working together doesn't have to be work. Work should also be fun. There should be a lot of laughter. And there should be a lot of smiles, you know, and of course, communication and keeping open communication and having everybody know clearly cut what are our goals, what are our action plans, and how are we getting there, and what is everybody's role. Now, that's where the mucky part comes in lots of times is leaders are not effective communicators, and communication is at the core of being an effective leader. Doesn't matter if you're a parent, you know, conveying those directions to your children, spouse, or anything. The more clear you are on what you express, then the better opportunity for success. And
yeah,
everybody feels better.
I agree. Well, Sharon, we are down to the end of the show.
Oh, my goodness. How did this happen already?
I know. Well, having a good time makes time fly. So this has really been great. So now you mentioned you're doing something on this coming Friday. So what do you have up and coming if people want to go ahead and get more of Sharon?
Well, first of all, you know, I have a lot of book signings going on around the country. But if you cannot get my books in a store, you can get them on Amazon or in book and Kindle format and in Barnes & Noble online as well. I also do a leadership summit, which is wonderful, and I bring internationally acclaimed leaders. We'll be doing one in New York. This one will be in Albany, New York. It will be November 2nd and 3rd, and all that information is also online right now. Registration is filling up fast, so if somebody would like to join us, we would love to have them be a part of it. I mean, we have Jeff Hoffman, who founded Priceline, and the kiosks that you check in with a number of things. We have Forbes Riley, who is just a brilliant TV co-host and iconic. She's sold over $2 billion on television. Lynette Louise, who does the seven senses of leadership. She's a brilliant psychotherapist. But we really work with all aspects of leadership. I really work a lot with leadership image and connection. And we really work to build this up. It's only limited to 150 people because we like people to also connect to the major speakers that we bring in globally. So it's all great fun. I love, Robert, to hear from people. So people, if you, everybody who's listening, send me an email at sharon@sharonburstein.com. If you're reading Life Snacks or What's Your Leadership Image, send me a note about what your favorite word in your life snack is. It's just great. I love communicating and talking with people. I mean, the more we can communicate and connect, I just love it, and we'll have a great time getting to know one another.
Absolutely. And now you are on Facebook and Twitter, so
I am on Facebook,
your...
Twitter, and LinkedIn. So
and
like
LinkedIn.
Me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Sharon Burstein International is also there too, so you can do both on Facebook.
Okay, great. Well, I've got Facebook and I've got Twitter, and I'll do LinkedIn shortly. So I want to make sure I get my fellow sharing. So I really want to thank you for your time today. I've really enjoyed speaking with you.
And I have too, Robert. You are just a fun and absolutely delightful host. So my thanks and gratitude for you and sharing your very special show in this incredible hour with you and your listeners. So take care, and I look forward to connecting and being part of your show again.
Thank you. Likewise. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Sharon Burstein. We've been talking about her new book, Life Snacks for Women, Create a Life of Excellence, Tips to Ignite Your Spirit and Inspire Your Life. And we've also been talking about her work with Leadership Image. And again, you can find out more by visiting her website, which is www.sharonburstein.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me, that's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.